Oh, you think for yourself? We like that around here. This is American Viewpoints with Mike Ferguson.
Big controversy from the U.S. Supreme Court just over the past year or so when it says that the Biden administration cannot unilaterally forgive student loan debt. And so this past week, the Biden administration announces a new plan to, well, forgive student loan debt. You may say, but Mike, how is that possible? The Supreme Court said he can't do that. I'm not quite sure how that's going to work, but we're going to get into that in just a minute. And for a lot of people, they say, hey, keep trying, Mr. President. That's really going to benefit me. But will it? Let's talk about that. I'm Mike Ferguson. Thank you for making American Viewpoints part of your weekend. I am now joined by Elaine Parker. She's the president of the Job Creators Network Foundation. And Elaine, first of all, welcome back to the show. Appreciate you being on the program. The president, the vice president, they say this time they are complying with the Supreme Court's ruling and they want to get rid of, among other things, at least the interest and cancel some of that interest, saying, you know what, the interest is outweighing some of the principal. We still have to find a way to cancel as much debt as possible. And they're being pretty open about it. They disagree with the ruling and they want to find a way around that ruling. Talk about that aspect. Is it even possible for the administration to cancel any student loan debt at this point, given the Supreme Court ruling?
The Supreme Court was very clear in its ruling. And first of all, Mike, thanks for having me. But when the Supreme Court came down with its ruling, it was a 6-3 decision. And they said that it was unconstitutional for the administration to forgive debt. And what the Chief Justice decision wrote was that the administration was given the authority by Congress to modify these rules in the Department of Education, not to rewrite them. So the spirit of the decision says, this is a congressional decision. Congress has to do this. Congress has the power of the purse, that the president doesn't have unfettered authority to just wipe away the debt for millions of Americans with taxpayer dollars. Congress spoke last June, just before this decision came out from the Supreme Court. They passed a bipartisan, let me repeat that, they passed a bipartisan, Democrats and Republicans, bill last year canceling the student debt bailout program, which went to Biden's desk and he vetoed it. So he's defying the will of the people, the Congress, and the Supreme Court. Most people in this day and age would call that a king, not a president.
Now, with that, let me ask one technical question as far as, like, you know, dealing with the rules, not rewriting them. If he focuses on the interest, and I know this is getting a little wonky, but if he's arguing, well, I'm not canceling the debt, I'm just canceling that compound interest that came from it, but you still have to pay the principal of the debt itself. Is there any legal difference between that and actually just wiping out a loan off the books altogether?
Well, I mean, that's a great question. And it is a legal question. And there's a reason why they're specifically focusing in on the interest piece of it, because he's trying to pass this plan under a different legal authority than he did last year. This is known as the Higher Education Act, and it's a sweeping initiative to slash student debt for about 30 million people. So under this new plan, it would cancel $20,000 of borrowers' accrued interest, regardless of their income. But it would automatically cancel debt for borrowers that are eligible for loan forgiveness under the SAVE plan, under the PSLF, closed school discharge, or other forgiveness programs, but have not enrolled in them. So they are going to be forgiving actual debt as well, but they're very specific in interest. It's probably some legal wonky thing. But if you just go back to the policy as a policy matter in general, Mike, this bailout suffers from the same fundamental problem as the first one. It does nothing to hold colleges accountable for their role in overcharging students. So they have no even intention, they have no want to even solve the problem for future students. And they're setting it up so that students coming in now will have an expectation to have their loans forgiven too.
Yeah, now that's a really good point, too. My wife happens to be a university professor, and she's been saying there's a day of reckoning coming for the academy at some point, in large part because, hey, if you're being told You know what, by the government, hey, what you do is so valuable, just charge what you want. We'll make sure you get your payment. Well, there's no incentive whatsoever to manage costs or be efficient or respond to a marketplace whatsoever. Is there anything in the works now that could address the frankly just business nonsense approach that's happening on so many university campuses right now, public and private?
Well, look, there are these colleges and universities are sitting on $800 billion in endowments. They don't have any skin in the game in these programs. If they believe so much in these college degree programs that they're selling some of these students that frankly are in the worthless category, then they should be underwriting these loans. And I don't think they're going to do it because they know these kids are graduating and they're not employable.
The president and the vice president are saying, yes, but if we release $300, $400, $500, $600 per month per borrower, that's good for the economy because now they can afford to invest, they can afford to buy other things, they can afford to build up the business sector as well. So there, at one point, the president in Wisconsin actually said, this is good for the economy, and trying to separate out the, you know, the part of you took out a loan, you got to pay it back, saying this is good economic policy.
This is adding to a $34 trillion debt that we're already sitting on as taxpayers. There's a whole nother crisis brewing. And let me go back to when we filed litigation in the first bailout, what I looked at was, how do we solve the problem for future generations, for future students? We are sitting on $34 trillion in debt. Taxpayers shouldn't be responsible for this. But schools and universities, I mean, we were calling for the Senate Republicans or the House Republicans to hold hearings on this and bring in the top 10 offenders, presidents of colleges who are the top 10 offenders of high tuition, and ask them how they're going to solve it. How are they going to contribute to the problem that they've created? We also were calling for more accountability, for colleges to have skin in the game with some of these endowments, to have better disclosure statements so that kids understood what they were going to pay back when they were signing $30,000 of their life away for a degree program. Senate Republicans actually introduced about 5 pieces of legislation that mirrored everything that we thought could help the system, the lending system. Democrats don't want to talk about it. They don't want to take it up. They don't want to debate it. They don't want to talk about it at all because they don't want to solve the problem. It's an election year, unfortunately. And in an election year,
what is the message to those voters? This has been called a vote buying policy or vote buying platform by the Biden administration or the Biden campaign. And I think there's a lot of merit to that. But if you're talking to somebody who says, man, that would really help me, even if it's a bad policy, even if it adds to the debt, you know, even if it doesn't result in any changes in the problem, boy, that's good for me. How do we message that to somebody who's young and would stand to benefit to the tune of thousands and thousands of dollars?
I agree. I mean, when there's money being given out, I understand if you're the recipient why you think it's not a bad deal. And the thing is that I agree with President Biden that we have a college debt crisis. We're staring at $1.7 trillion in college debt out there. There are things that Congress should be considering, like the legislation that was introduced last year on accountability and more disclosures to these students that are signing up. But why not consider bankruptcy, discharging some of this debt in bankruptcy? If there are students and borrowers who fall on bad times and simply can't afford to make these payments, and that happens, or can't get a job in the field to make enough money, then maybe we should consider discharging these loans. Right now, you cannot discharge student loans in bankruptcy proceedings. And maybe that's something that needs to be addressed, and it needs to be addressed by Congress. Again, these are solutions to put on the table, but the only people who have put any solutions on the table are Senate Republicans. And no Democrats have wanted to talk about it. The president doesn't want to talk about it. And that's the unfortunate part of an election year, is they're not interested in solutions. They're interested in buying votes.
And how do we find out more about what you're doing at the Job Creators Network?
Your listeners can go to jobcreatorsnetwork.com.
Well, just ahead, the gig economy could be the next evolution in our free market. So why do so many governments want to put restraints on it? Let's talk about that just ahead here on American Viewpoints.